Hello and welcome to the Edge of the Box Football Podcast. Today we're talking the 2023 Ballon d'Or and who should win it, with myself making the case for Lionel Messi and Ash making the case for Erling Haaland. After that, we take a deep dive into the criticism Haaland received last season and the tactical tweaks Man City made to silence them. We're also reviewing past comments I've made about the big Norwegian to see whether I'd like to review my position as an admirer, but also a long-standing sceptic of his all-round game. Let's get into it. I'm your host, Harry Brent. Right, I'm going to start today with a couple of little, I wouldn't call them quickfire questions. They're just sort of questions for you both. I've done a couple of general things for you to just sort of, like trivia questions almost to answer.
Everybody's going to pierce me, isn't it?
And then, they're all a bit like abstract and gettable. So the first one, who has more managerial honours, Zinedine Zidane or Diego Simeone?
Zidane.
Feel free to talk.
But it feels like a trick question.
Yeah.
Because Simeone's got one La Liga title.
Hasn't Zidane got like three Champions Leagues?
No Champions League. Yeah, I feel like you'd throw in a La Liga or two.
Yeah.
Who was he managing before Atletico Madrid?
He was manager in Argentina for a wee bit.
And he must have been doing well to come over to the third biggest club in Spain, right?
Can you reveal the club, Harry, or would that give it away?
I've forgotten the club.
Yeah. I was also going to say, do you actually know?
I did this prior to the cancel.
Plot twist, a couple of weeks he managed ago. In Japan.
Argentina, Japan.
Yeah,
I'm going to look it up.
I'm going to say River. River, maybe.
Racing Club and River Plate.
Oh, he was.
All right, give her.
Racing Club, Estudiantes, River Plate, San Lorenzo, Catania.
It was like
Racing Club again.
Those are the biggest clubs in Argentina.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking.
So how many trophies did he win with them?
And is it I'm not going to look that up because that's
Zidane is only.
I'm going to go Simeone.
I'm going to stick with Zidane.
The answer is Zinedine Zidane, but by one. 11 for Zidane, 10 for Simeone.
Oh, nice.
I was sort of hoping that one was going to be Simeone correct because I thought that you guys would leap immediately to Zidane because you'd go like, well, Simeone's not really won much with Atletico and Zidane won loads with Madrid. But yeah, it's funny because Zidane's not really had much. He's only been manager of Real Madrid twice and that's it.
Feel like we got there though.
Yeah, that was a pretty conclusive answer. Who has more honours as a player, Wes Brown or Steven Gerrard?
Wes Brown.
I'm going to also say Wes Brown from the bench.
That is correct. 11-8, Wes Brown. Ooh, it's close though, because obviously Gerrard won a few early on.
This is definitely just more evidence that trophies mean nothing when you're looking back at how good a player was.
That's always the one. This is why I brought it up. I always use the Wes Brown example as like, you can't judge a player on his trophies. Wes Brown has won the Champions League twice.
Surely it's pedigree, ability and trophies. You don't just use Wes Brown as the example.
But no, I just mean that when someone goes like, oh, when they're comparing two players, well, X won more trophies, so therefore, I go, well, okay, if you use that standard, then Wes Brown's better than Steven Gerrard, isn't he?
I mean,
by your logic.
And in sentiment.
But yeah, Gerrard's won more than most people give him sort of think that he has, obviously, because the whole lack of winning the Premier League thing was a big thing. But eight trophies is quite a lot. Okay, who played more games with Messi? Xavi or Javier Mascherano?
Ooh, Mascherano, because of international appearances plus club appearances.
Interesting.
Oh, but then Mascherano's career at Barca.
I'm saying Xavi at Barca.
The answer is Mascherano.
Oh.
414 to 399. Again, pretty close.
It'll be interesting how many of those, how you split between club appearances and international.
Yeah, I assume about 50 of Mascherano's appearances or so are Argentina.
International.
Too old.
Who played more games with Cristiano Ronaldo, Luka Modric or Rio Ferdinand?
Luka Modric. Because I know he played at Man United for a while, but the amount of appearances he's had at Real Madrid in comparison. And Modric has been there pretty much all the time he's been there, right?
2012 is when Modric arrived at Real Madrid.
Yeah.
So 6 years and 5 years, I think. How long was he at Man United for? Oh, no, not 5 years. 2003 to 2000, 6 years, both.
I'm still going to go Modric.
I'll go Rio then.
Modric by one game.
Nice.
222 to 221. Who has more goals in finals, Messi or Ronaldo?
Ronaldo. Yeah, I'm saying Ronaldo. But I don't know, because it's Harry making the questions. We'll pick answers that make Messi better. Oh,
never give that man credit. Might tie into a question I've got coming up.
I'm still going to say Ronaldo because I can think of Ronaldo's.
I'll go Messi. I'll go the
opposite one. The answer is Messi. And by a long way, I was shocked. Messi's got 35 goals in finals in 48. And Ronaldo has 22 in 36.
Wow.
What finals?
I think it must include it. I didn't check this, but it probably includes the the Spanish version of the Community Shield and just
Super Cup.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff, and he would have played at least one or two of those every season.
He probably scored about 2-3 goals.
And just as a supplementary question, assists in finals: Messi 15, Ronaldo 2. who got more? Ronaldo Nazario in World Cup goals or Drogba final goals? So Ronaldo
World Cup in general.
Yeah, so Ronaldo played have 3 or 4 World Cups. How many goals did he score collectively in all those tournaments compared to how many goals did Didier Drogba score in finals?
I feel this is your Chelsea bias and you're trying to show what Drogba actually was. I'm going to go with Drogba.
I will also go with Drogba.
Well, you've probably done this because you'll probably think it.
Yes.
Mind games, yes.
And the answer is Ronaldo.
I knew you were doing it.
15 goals to 12 goals.
Ooh, yeah.
Which club has more honours, Aston Villa or Man City?
City. By one.
Yeah, I tried not to make them all really narrow because obviously then it's just like, even if you're wrong, you're not really that wrong, are you?
You want us to be as wrong as possible.
I want you to look fools.
Yeah, I'm going to say City.
Villa.
I think they've been consistently winning trophies since what, 20? Wow. Early 2010s?
Yeah. Also got a bit of, they won stuff in the past as well, but Villa did as well.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Nah, I'm sticking with City.
I'll do it again, Villa.
Man City. Man City, 27 to 24.
50 trophies.
Who has more Champions League goals, Wayne Rooney or Erling Haaland?
I'll go Rooney.
Haaland.
The answer is Erling Haaland. 35 to 30, and Haaland's got that in 30 games, and Rooney got 30 in 85 games. Bloody hell.
Unreal.
Machine.
5-3, by the way.
5-3.
Who is the best striker in the Premier League after Haaland, now that Kane's left?
Oh, this is just an opinion question.
Yeah.
I, personally, would say, even though he's, not playing, probably be Ivan Toney, which is a boring answer. But
yeah, that's not a bad shout. It's funny, though, isn't it? The massive drop-off. I didn't even I wasn't even aware of it when Kane was there, thinking like, oh, it's Kane and Haaland, and then nobody for quite a distance.
Yeah.
I'd probably say the same, to be honest.
That's been a few years. It'd be Evan Ferguson. Watkins,
Evan Ferguson. You could say Gabriel Jesus, but whether you quite include him as a proper out and out striker.
Probably Son.
You would, but I wouldn't
Salah. as well, if you count him like that.
Yeah.
Which is not a striker. But yeah, I think I'd agree with Tony. Be interested to see what happens with him in January. Who would win, United's 2008 league winning team or Liverpool's 2020 Premier League winning team? I've had this thought, this hypothetical in my head for a while.
I mean, they're both really strong. I'd say Liverpool.
I'm a bit recency biased with most.
Even modern football,
better than anything, but even 2008. Wow. I had a Liverpool every day.
Because that was what, Ronaldo, Rooney, Tevez.
I'm just thinking tactically, they'd be out quite.
Yeah, I think that's what I think as well. I mean, that was definitely when that Ferguson, that second sort of era Ferguson team was at its strongest. But yeah, I still think that there was a level that Liverpool got to that was probably just a bit above. I know they won the treble, so it's hard to be too critical. Did they win the treble? No, they won the Prem and the League Cup. That was it, not the treble. They won the treble. What would you say, Dave?
I think both very offensive-minded. That team was... I would maybe think United, just because I think maybe defensive solidity. So Evra, Vidic, Rio, I think would have been Gary Neville. Maybe Gary Neville would have been a weak spot. It is
definitely more superstar quality in that. Like, there's no sort of particular weak spots, and there's just power all over the pitch. Like, yeah, you wonder how much joy Salah and Mane would have got against a pretty sturdy fucking defence.
Who was in United's midfield?
It would have been, I mean, Scholes and Carrick, or like Anderson was in there, Fletcher.
Ooh.
Not super strong, but...
Does that be what? Fabinho, Henderson?
And Wijnaldum.
They sort of had similar roles in some ways to that Liverpool midfield. They were basically just kind of water carriers, apart from Scholes. They were basically not typical, like, just do-nothing water carriers, but they were a bit of jack-of-all-trades, just pitched in wherever, got the ball forward to the forwards or the wide guys.
I think I'm going to go United.
It's controversial. You're a big Klopp and that era Liverpool fan.
I am, but... Maybe because I was obviously fortunate to watch.
Tactically, they would be absolutely overrun. Like, yeah, you can say they're all very stout defensively, but they would have been playing in a time, used to playing in a time where you don't have Trent Alexander-Arnold and Andy Robertson creating, like, outnumbering you on the wings.
But then they have to then mark Ronaldo. I mean, who would have been on the right wing for United?
Wijnaldum and Henderson, of course. And then you've got Big VVD playing the season of his life.
Then you've got Vidic, you've got Rio, where do we have Vidic in the top five defenders? Rio, we have them up there. I think...
We should revisit those.
Mm.
I don't think it would change massively, but the central midfield probably would.
And then you
guarantee, I wouldn't fight it so hard to get Harry Kane and the striker.
Tevez, Rooney as well.
Yeah,
it's Van Dijk alongside someone like Matip, so it's not like it's Van Dijk.
Yeah, but Matip's not like Matip's.
What's the
any worse than like?
What's the better partnership, Rio and Vidic or Matic and BVD?
I mean, you're not pitting them against each other, though, are you?
You're doing it as a collective unit, and I think Matip is probably the weak link in that centre back partnership. And
he's the weak link in United, though.
In the centre back, Vidic and
team in general, in the midfield.
Carrick, pretty solid. Scholes would have been good, obviously. I know we obviously don't rate him as much on here, but I just think holistically, I think United is what slightly got the edge. I know obviously the gegenpress, but I think Liverpool would have to think about United's offence more so than they probably would have with other team. I mean, similar, I have another question that's not too far off that, but do any of either the Invincibles, Mourinho's 2004 Premier League winning team, or the 2008 United team that we've mentioned beat City Centurions?
No. No. Never.
Wow.
Never. Actually, no. I think one team would beat City Centurions. That'd be current Man City. I think that's the only team.
Has Mourinho's 2004 team set the record?
What's the question? Would any of them beat, or could any of them beat?
Either one. Would they? Could they? It's not too.
Because I think that the sort of clubs you've mentioned, the teams you've mentioned, are the ones. And you know, I guess you could argue the Liverpool, but I probably think the Liverpool team that came second the year before were actually a little bit better than the one that won the league, are probably the ones up there from the 21st century that you put in as like up there in the conversation. I don't know. I think there's definitely an argument to say that the Centurions are the best.
Hmm.
But
I'm surprised how 2004 Chelsea setting the record for least goals conceded. Terry, Cole.
Yeah, I mean, that was a mammoth team. The Invincibles were obviously, you know, they all well, actually, apart from the Man United 2008 one, all the Invincibles, Chelsea, Mourinho and Centurions all had that ridiculous kind of level of dominance, like 15, 20 points above the nearest rivals or, you know, rough, sort of around that. So, I really don't know. There's sort of points to. The thing I like about them is what do you think I'd go say no to it?
No, I thought you'd say either the Mourinho team or maybe the Invincibles, just because of the combination of technicality and physicality. But obviously, Ash, you're a massive, massive fan of Pep, and understandably as well, he's just tactical nous and he's godlike level of footballing knowledge.
Best manager in the history of football ever.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And as you're obviously a bit more privy maybe to Ash, that you've seen both eras, haven't you, of the Premier League?
The one criticism, I mean, it's harder to say now they won the Champions League, but the one criticism that was always kind of thrown at Pep Guardiola's City team, as amazing as they are, are they just kind of result churners where they just beat the smaller teams and actually get a little bit undone against better teams? So there is an argument to say that maybe against, let's say they did like a round robin tournament with all those teams in the playing each other over and over again, how often they would come out on top would be interesting. Look, I'm biased. I sort of think the answer is Chelsea, but I know that that comes from a biased position. So I don't, and I could never confidently say they are the best Premier League team of all time. I do have a lot of respect for that Centurions team. Yeah. But yeah, I sort of take Ash's point in the sense that I think the football we've seen them play over the since March, and we'll get on to this, is arguably the best Pep City team we've seen. Wow. So,
because I thought you'd have said that 2004 team is built to beat that Centurions team with the
tactics. I suppose they probably that's probably the kind of team that would actually be really suited to them, thinking about it.
Yeah,
Chelsea came unstuck against the defensively solid with a bit of talent up front. Rafa Benitez is Liverpool, for example.
I guess it's a testament to obviously Pep and the City team, because I obviously specifically picked those teams because I personally think they're probably the best of the best that we've seen within the Premier League over 10-15 year span.
Oh, yeah, it's so hard to But yeah, I definitely the four you've mentioned, and then I can just speculate from teams in the 90s. I wasn't around to watch. But yeah, they're all in the conversation for definite.
Do you think, and this is to you, Ash, do you think this current City team would be or could be the Centurions?
They beat them. Yeah.
I think it's too early to call them this is who they are, because obviously you can have purple patches and great runs of form, but I think unless you do it over the course of a season, you can truly go that was what that team was. Yeah. I think it's hard to sort of say, oh, this the City team of April, or no, whatever it is, March 2023 to September 2023, they're the best, you know, then you get into slightly odd waters. But yeah, if they keep playing like they have been playing. I mean, not I must say, I've not really seen a massive sort of uber impressive team yet this season, but certainly last season, if they can continue it and blitz the league again, then yeah, I think there'll be a fair argument to say they could be up there as well.
Who should / will win the Ballon d'Or?
Erling Haaland.
Messi, come on.
Come on.
Come on.
No way.
Let's have a conversation.
This is why I asked it. Yeah.
No way.
Tell me why. Harry,
I know you're a big Messi.
Yes, fan. Argue. Just I know I you're wanted. A big Messi. Yes.
But Erling Haaland has broken the Premier League goal scoring record.
I'm just going to say.
In the same season that he has won a treble, including the Champions League and the Premier League. All in the same season.
So what is, I think to answer this question, probably you need to work out what precisely is the Ballon d'Or, who is it given to? From what it sounds like you're doing and what loads of people do all the time is give it to the best player in the best team. That's usually what people do, which in my opinion is wrong. That's not what the Ballon d'Or is for.
It's no, but it is given how the Ballon d'Or is awarded.
But that, okay, yeah, but that's, but this is the question is who would you give it to? Who should win it? And it like the, someone sent me a couple of days ago, they sent me a video montage of Messi creativity and like passes and assists in the season just gone alone. And it was 50 minutes long and it's purely, and it was just, it was no goals, not a single goal in it. And it was just these unbelievable things that honestly, I was looking at it going, there isn't a single footballer alive who can do that. And he's not even a midfielder and he's doing all these incredible things. And it sort of put it into perspective for me. Like Erling Haaland is obviously this incredible, monstrous striker who's done amazing things and is in an amazing team and deserves to be rewarded for that. But Messi's the best footballer on the planet. It's just silly to suggest that anyone other than him is better. You might say that someone has had a better year, but that World Cup, I think, stands him, puts him above everything. And it's not just the World Cup either. He scored a hell of a lot of goals for a title-winning team in PSG. And all that stuff. I know it's a bit crap, but his sort of revolutionary thing with Inter Miami, he's taken a team that could not win and they've literally won every game since he's come in, is still pretty impressive. So, but look, if it goes to Haaland, it's not the crime of the century, but I honestly think that if you're awarding it, if you're giving it to the best footballer, I mean, I've said this before. I would have given that award to Messi every year since 2008 or whatever. But I know I am biased. But I also think there is some objectivity to it. Erling Haaland is an amazing penalty box player, but that's all he is.
So I'm looking at the odds right now for the Ballon d'Or award. Yeah, Messi, Haaland, then Rodri.
Rodri. This is what I mean. It will
then Harry Kane.
It's like when Jorginho finished third. They just give it to someone. Oh, you've been in the Champions League winning team and the Euro winning team. That'll do. You can go get a load of votes. That's not the way to award it. It's not. That doesn't mean. What does that mean? Eggers, who do you say? There you go.
Looking at the stats, and there's a fair few, so let me give out some numbers. So Haaland, 53 appearances, 52 goals, I think, like 4 or 5 assists. Messi has 56 appearances, 38 goals, 26 assists. World Cup.
36, and he's doing that. Come on.
I think give it to Messi. I think Haaland's probably going to win all of them probably after this, but yeah, I think give it to Messi. It's probably partly sentimental because he won the World Cup.
You can't award a Ballon d'Or of sentimentality.
That's what I'm saying.
But it will, and you're right, Messi will probably win it.
It's sentimental, but it's still validated with the stats.
I think if Messi wins one sentimentally, you've got to give one to bloody Robert Lewandowski.
They did. They gave him the best striker award the year after.
Yeah.
I've made the case for Messi. That's not to suggest that I think, as I say, I don't think Erling Haaland winning it would be a stupid thing. I think there's plenty of reasons to give it. But this is an exercise that I know isn't necessarily the right thing to do, but it's one I always try to do whenever I think of who should win the Ballon d'Or. And I always sort of go, I try to take all context out and just sort of imagine that I'm seeing the year of football with fresh eyes. I have no idea who any of these people are. So, like, because I always think that with Messi and, to be fair, Ronaldo, we take what they do for granted because they've been doing it for 15 years. And I do not believe that if Messi was a 19-year-old kid we'd never heard of, there's not a single chance he wouldn't be winning the Ballon d'Or this year, given what he can do. It's just that we're so used to it that we just go, oh, Messi beating five people in a telephone box and playing beauty. Well, we've seen that. It's nothing new. But Erling Haaland doing his thing is at least a little bit fresh. But the things that Messi does is just, it's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. And it's not a case of, like, as someone wrote in that video I was mentioning about that compilation of all his passes, someone was saying, like, you could honestly go through a career of any other footballer and not make this compilation. And this is just a year. This is just a season of passes when he's 36. Anyway, I fanboy about Messi.
The Ballon d'Or on compilations. Yeah,
but they're the two standouts for sure. Right. So, when was it, Dave? In May last year?
May 18th.
We did a podcast about will Erling Haaland be a good fit for Man City. It was just after he got announced. We had a little bit of a discussion about it. Heggers has got some timestamps for the supposedly stupid things that I have said. As a generally speaking, to give context, I've been quite a sort of long-standing, what's the word I used on the pod? Skeptic of Haaland's abilities. That's not to say that I don't rate him. That's not to say that, I don't recognise all the things that he does incredibly well. It's just that I sort of have been quite vocal about his weak points and blah. We had various conversations about him last season, and we've been meaning to do this sort of follow-up conversation for a while about the impact, the sort of revising how, I'm guessing it's how I feel, not we feel, but is that what you're planning, Dave? I don't want to seem egotistical. Is that what this is about, or is it just a revisit for us all?
Yeah, this is. I've just taken a few of your quotes, and you can expand on it and revise it as you deem fit.
And we're also, and just sort of looking at the changes City made at the back end of last season that sort of changed how the title race went, and indeed probably the Champions League race, although that was probably going to be wrapped up. But yeah, Dave, so go on. You've had a little look at the podcast we did. Again, this is before Haaland arrived at Man City. Let me know what I said and feel free to put to me what challenges you have.
So there's two parts. I've looked at the one that was on the 18th of May, and the other one was the 31st of January of this year.
Man's pulling quartz up. Be prepared to defend them.
To be fair, you mentioned stuff that was accurate, but I think it's in the second part. That's where you go a bit wild.
Oh, bollocks. I haven't listened to that one.
I'll say a few quotes. So he scores two sorts of goals. Poaching in the six-yard area, running at people and smashing it in. Very colloquial, smashing it in for you. Because of the way you play, he will become a super poacher. Goals will mainly be inside the box.
Talking to Rome, the City.
They've wanted City, this type of player. That's why they wanted Kane.
Wait. Is that me saying that?
That's you saying it.
And what to what was I referring? Like, they've wanted.
So you were saying that this type of number nine, basically. Big striker who gets goals. Okay. Yeah, so more conventional striker. No doubt he will score goals. A bad season will be between 15 and 20 goals. Lots of games. So you were talking about how it's going to be good to see him in the Prem if he does come, or when he game. Because there's lots of games where he does bugger all. Dortmund don't have much of the ball compared to, and then you compared him to Kane, saying obviously Kane can be better in a possession-based system compared to him. Mm-hmm. Interested to see how he's received. We've only seen him in Champions League games, compilations and highlights. He will obviously be a massive asset, will score goals, so you were right on that. It's going to be fun. And this one was the best one. In this one, you were pretty tame. You said, not had one of the big exciting plays in the Prem, not since Ronaldo left the first time. Yeah. So, before we go into the other one, any glaring opinions there, or that either you or Ashley?
Well, No, I mean, as I said, I didn't listen to the second podcast that you've taken quotes from, but I listened to the first one, and as you sort of touched upon it there, like in the sort of climate that I was talking and the information that I had at hand, I still stand by pretty much everything I said. I mean, I'm sort of willing to make adjustments here and there for levels and sort of, you know, stuff like that. Like, but generally speaking, unless you bring up something truly embarrassing, there's nothing I want to retract.
Well, we've got time, Harry. This is just the appetite.
You got more?
I've got more. So this is on to the second pod.
So, oh, right. That was just the first one. Oh, shit.
And I believe this one was coined, Haaland making City worse? So obviously this comes in January.
Yeah, I remember this one.
Where City were however many points behind Arsenal. Let's not bring that
and
up.
And I think this was before Carragher made a big fuss about it, for what it's worth. Yeah. I remember Carragher did a big thing and it became a bit of a topic. I think this was before he said that. But anyway.
So, he scores loads of goals, but week on week, he's making them worse. Mm-hmm. They are conceding more goals, not dominating games as they used to. You then proceeded to compare him to Ronaldo and second stint at United Ronaldo. He scores goals, but makes them worse. I think they must really regret that, i.e. not getting Kane. But you did say he may well be the difference in the Champions League. They don't need another Premier League. If Guardiola is honest, he'll probably think, I wish we'd pushed for Kane. Mm-hmm. No, I wouldn't be surprised even if they won the CL if Pep left in the summer. And you were saying that they basically locked in with this type of player and he might not be able to adapt, so he may leave.
Yeah.
Unless they win, and because of that, unless they win the Champions League, this is a problem. Feels like they're missing something. Seems like a small problem, but an easily resolvable problem. You also did mention that he'll probably break the Premier League record, and he'll always be able to score. He's a cheat code. So the main talking point is that he's making them worse, and they should have gone for Kane. So he's making them worse in the same way that Ronaldo made United worse, scoring bags of goals, but collectively as a unit, as a system, he's making them worse.
Can I jump in?
Go on, Ash.
I don't think anything that Harry said in any of those quotes is invalid at all for that period of time. So I think, it was shortly after that that Pep decided to revamp the entire system.
When was that podcast? January?
Yeah. For that first,
so they weren't doing well, and then they've had to change. So I think ideally he has made them worse than what they were doing previously. That's forced Pep's hand to rejig the entire structure of the team. So you haven't got that person there who can help in the link-up play because he doesn't. So now you're having to pull your fullbacks in. You're having to drop John Stones into midfield to make up the extra man that Erling Haaland isn't.
I said that The only thing, because I think Rowe was somewhat green as well. I think I just said that, is it not just a bit premature? That wouldn't it be surprising if they then went on 10, 15 game run like they do?
So of all the things that I said then, was there any sort of parts of that, because you said, is it a bit early? So is there any sort of parts of that you kind of thought that's overreacting or that's sort of just not? Right, and you see things that have since come to pass that perhaps I didn't.
Yeah, I think the Ronaldo comparison. I think the Kane comparison was interesting as well. But ultimately, they should have gone for Kane as opposed to Haaland. And obviously, seeing that he scored 52 goals in 53 games, and then winning the treble. So I think it was understandable given the context. But I think it was surprising considering how many times we've seen City do this before. Then add on top of that a player that just bags goals.
Do what before?
So start poorly and then in the last 2-3 months of the season just go on an incredible one and win league. So it felt just premature that we were A, questioning Pep, and B, making assumptions that it's because of Haaland that City aren't doing well, when we've seen them in their plump start poorly
But do you not think the system change that Ash mentioned that happened, I think, in either late February, early March, was sort of evidence that something was not right? I mean, perhaps maybe it's not a Haaland problem. My diagnosis of it was that it was a Haaland problem, and that because they lost that man in the build-up, because Haaland just doesn't get involved in it, they now needed to add another body to central midfield in order to gain control of it. That was my take on it, was that, because obviously they went switched from a back four to a back three, moved initially Rico Lewis, but ended up being John Stones into centre midfield while in possession, and then he obviously dropped back in. And maybe it was just a tactical tweak, but my thoughts on that was that it's because they're now on the ball, effectively have 10 men, 9 men, rather, or 10 men, I guess, because Edison plays with it as well, rather than, you know, the one extra when it was Aguero or Gabriel Jesus who could come in and do little bits and bobs.
And one extra that it would be if they had gone and got Harry Kane.
Yeah, I think it was, I mean, Pep usually changes the system quite frequently. He's generally adaptable, whether it was, I think it's A, purely laying the blame with at Haaland's feet. And I think the Ronaldo comparison, because I differentiate the, because you said like Ronaldo, he may get loads of goals, but he arguably makes them worse. And I think there was also, I think, a part of like a selfishness that you were maybe insinuating at that I didn't agree with. So I was saying that unlike Ronaldo has to demand the ball in every situation. Well, I think I said that Haaland actually waits for the right moment and for the players to find him. He's the cherry on top of already nice cake. And I said that was the difference when the channel, we mentioned it as well, in the pod, that was the difference for why they didn't win the Champions League, because they had all these chances, but no one to finish them.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly how I felt when I said those comments, but I don't think I was inferring anything about Haaland's attitude when I said that. I think I was purely talking tactically, in the sense that you've got a man who is basically only there to get involved, not just in the final third, but in the box of the final third. So that's why I compared it to Ronaldo, in the sense that, yeah, he'll score you loads of goals. But, I mean, and the other thing, I think that I can understand the argument saying it's not clear whether it was Haaland's doing or whether it was just because City had a bad start to the season. But I think that, I remember there was all sorts of talk in January. Like, I think there was, as in preparation for this today, I saw quotes from Guardiola, I think in December, where he said, like, we're not going to win the league. We're too far behind now. There's so many problems. It was either Cancelo or Gundogan said this is about December, January, there's something really not right. Not saying it's Haaland, but just saying that this isn't working.
Saw that as excuses, Alf. Well, go on, sorry.
The one thing that I will say, because I obviously thought that Haaland was going to be this big detrimental thing, I still do believe that everything I said, or not everything I said, but the majority of what I said about him was sort of proven. He's going to bang a load of goals, but he's going to make City worse. But the tactical change that they made, and now they've basically, because the other thing I've realized is they've in a lot of the big games, you know, Champions League games are against better opposition, they have uncharacteristically quite low possession, which has never been the case in the history of a Guardiola team. And, you know, my diagnosis again is that they've done that in order to facilitate Haaland. And they've now become a team where Haaland is not a detriment at all. He is a complete and utter force. And, they, you know, because obviously he's such a good goal scorer that it's silly not to sort of go, right, how can we build our team around this person and make sure that we can sort of facilitate it? And they did that.
Yeah.
So I think, therefore, that, I can comfortably say that my sort of diagnosis of I didn't expect Guardiola to be able to work out how to do it, but they've adapted to him rather than Haaland adapting to City, and it's now fine. But I do think that without that system change, which again in my opinion was to counteract the fact that Haaland is not in the build-up, was the only thing that was between him being a very, very detrimental but ridiculous goal scorer and a really, really vital cog in an amazing team.
Because I don't know if I agree that they did that formation change because of Haaland. I think they did it because that's how teams were beating them. getting them on the counter. That's how United beat them. That's how other teams have beat them historically. I disagree that he's fundamentally changed City's way of playing because of Haaland and to adapt and facilitate.
He's certainly never used a back three before. I mean, I know that there's obviously different sort of shapes that equate to that, but like in terms of an actual standing start possession, formation rather, he's never set up with a back three before.
It's so
fluid and everything moves. But you know what I mean. Like he took fullbacks out of the system completely. Like he's certainly not done that before. Like that's why Cancelo left, because he got pissed off that he'd been dropped and he fell out with him. Walker obviously can play centre back, so that's why he kind of filled in there. But he got rid of fullbacks, and fullbacks are obviously a huge part of his system down the years.
Because I think whoever they had up front, whether it be Kane, whether they still had Jesus, I think he would have eventually stumbled across this system. I don't think it's anything to do with the striker. I think it's everything to do with having that box in the centre mid to have possession, to rotate, to recycle, and then to have defensive stability by having a back three, by having three centre-backs. I don't think it's anything to do with the striker.
Maybe not to be sitting on the fence at all, but like maybe it's a bit of both. Maybe you're right in the sense that
you're wrong, Carrie.
He needed to do something in order to.
My part, I'm never.
No, look, the one thing I would say on Haaland, because my skepticism was wrong in the sense that I did not quite realize how unbelievably efficient he is, and like not efficient is the wrong word, how unbelievably
clinical,
ruthless he is in the box. And I think there's not a single scenario you could run where he wouldn't be like absolutely nailed on to be the favorite to win the ball in any sort of scenario in the box. But everything I said, all the sort of things I said about him out of possession and in possession as well, I stand by. And I do think that there is still a case to say that, like, Haaland, you know, in big games he goes missing. Like I know that's not necessarily his game. He's not going to get the ball, beat three people, and blah. But like, he might score. I think he scored one goal in the 4-1 win over Arsenal or whatever. But like, Champions League final, can't remember a single thing he did. Champions League semi-finals against Real Madrid, very ineffective. Like that's fine. Like, I'm not trying to say therefore he's crap, therefore I'm right. But I just think that the doubts I've had about him as a player still ring true. He's just a much better or a better goal scorer than I thought he would. And I will also say, I'm so impressed with the way he's actually trying to better himself in order to fit the system. I thought he was going to be a bit of a sort of, well, I'm this guy. Not necessarily Ronaldo, but like I'm a direct goal scorer. Like, I don't know how to do that stuff. But I've been really impressed with the way he's gone. Cool, I'm going to try to get better on the ball. I'm going to come inside to get the ball. I'm going to drop deep to get the ball, blah, 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 blah.
You thought he was a one-trick pony. Do you think that he, because obviously everyone's been hyping him up, and I think the big question for you, Haz, is do you think that he lives up to the hype now? So you obviously were very sceptical about his ability, the way he played, that he's one-dimensional, he can only score certain goals. Having seen him, obviously, I guess it's difficult for one season. Are you a believer?
Well, so a concession I'll make, and I was thinking about this last night, was I think he could be, other than maybe Cristiano Ronaldo, the greatest penalty box striker that I've ever seen. And I don't mean to say penalty box striker as like an insult. I just think, like, literally, I don't think there's a single player you could put in the box. And as I said to you before, run a simulation. Mm-hmm. He's the man who'll get it to you every time. And that, I think, doesn't just live up to the hype. It actually goes beyond what I think. We just thought he was going to be this pretty good goal scorer. But I think there's sort of levels that I don't quite think we've seen in a penalty box striker. But you asked me, would I prefer Haaland or Mbappe in my team? I'm picking Mbappe because I think there's more to Mbappe's game. I mean, I don't like Mbappe's attitude, to be fair, so there is that. I'd probably get rid of him on that note. But in terms of pure footballing ability, I like Mbappe's all-round game far more than Haaland's. And I think other than in a team like City where you have so much power and Pep Guardiola to find a way to make it all work, I think you'd be more likely to have success with a player like Mbappe in a super team than Haaland.
Surprised Chelsea haven't gone on and bought both of them, to be fair.
What do you think?
Mate, they're too old. We only buy 19-year-olds.
They're too old.
But yes, he is an absolute superstar. And as I said, like he's the Premier League has a absolute one of the top figures, if not the top figure in football, sort of contemporarily. But call it stubbornness or ego, but I still see the same issues that I have always said about him. Maybe not quite to the same degree. As I said, I've been impressed with his ability to be adaptable. But he goes through games having 8 touches. I mean, that's sure he makes up for it by scoring a load, but like.
What?
Surely that's playing a game with 10 players. That's not if Haaland doesn't score, he's a detriment to that team because he doesn't get involved, and that's bad. Sure, you can say, oh, it's fine because he scores 50 goals, but if he scores all those 50 goals in games where you win and he doesn't touch the ball in games where you lose, you could end up having a bad season. Which City basically did until March. They were having a bad season, even though he scored 50 goals. How can you possibly have a bad season with a striker that's scoring all these goals? You might be right. It might be unrelated. I don't think so.
I also think it's related.
But look, they've found a way to solve it, and credit to Pep, credit to City, credit to Haaland. Like they've seemed to have made it so that it's not a problem anymore. But I don't think the fact that City are doing well and Haaland scoring loads of goals means that he doesn't have the blind spots of a footballer that he evidently does.
Why do you think Pep signed him?
Well, because he's the best goal scorer on the planet. And they needed a striker. And I still do think they probably would. I mean, it's difficult to say whether they would have preferred Kane because obviously they only had him for a few years. I still stand by the fact that I think they probably would have preferred Kane.
I still stand by the fact that I think Kane would have put up similar numbers and would have chipped in with assists.
And I wouldn't be surprised if it's sort of just a bit like, well, Man City need a striker and the club are saying, well, you know, we can buy some, like we were talking before, who's the next best Premier League striker? There's a big gap between the absolute top players and whoever's next. If your options at City are Haaland, who's going to score a hell of a lot of goals, but there might be these niggling doubts about tactical stuff, or some, you know, £30 million Nico Jackson, of course, as Man City, you're going to go Erling Haaland or whoever else, you know. I don't want it to seem like I'm just saying.
What did he do to you, Haz?
I just stand by the things that I said. I don't hold the exact same opinions that I did in that first one before he came to City.
I don't get why you need, when you've got all these fantastic, creative, technically gifted players around you, why do you need another technically gifted striker?
It's not necessarily about what they need. It's just being honest about who he is. Like, you can be as complimentary of Haaland as you can, but you don't need to be dishonest about what he brings to the table. And I think that his unbelievable ability in front of goal is off the charts. But because he's so good in front of goal, it doesn't mean that the lesser parts of his game have to be swept under the rug. Like, it's the same with Mbappe. Like, you can talk about Mbappe is this unbelievable, you know, all-round player. It doesn't mean that you just ignore the fact that he has a shit attitude. Or,
do you think by the age of 28 he's ironed out all those deficiencies and weaknesses? Especially if Pep's still there.
I don't know. I don't think all, because you can't be the kind of player he is and just become a complete all-round player. I mean, who knows? You saw the way Harry Kane's transformed himself into like this amazing all-round player when he an absolute donkey when he was 22 or 23, whenever he broke into Tottenham's team. So maybe, but I'd be surprised. His game is so focused around explosiveness and physicality and all that stuff. I'd be surprised if he became a technical whiz. If he did, then I would hold my hands up and go, this fucker's the greatest player of all time. But yeah, I just...
Apart
from Messi, of course. It goes without saying.
He just is what he is. As you're expecting too much.
I'm not saying these things because I'm trying to argue that he doesn't deserve credit or anything. As I said before, it's just, I don't know. Thierry Henry, you know how much of a fan I am of Thierry Henry. There was always the question mark about his ability in finals or like in or whatever. I don't think he never scored in a final or something. It's not throwing shade at Henry. It's just being honest about who he was. Like, Henry, for me, is the best player, Premier League player of all time. But he never scored in the final, so that's just a fact. It doesn't mean, you know, Erling Haaland is, as I said, I think arguably the greatest penalty area striker that I've ever seen. I can't say in history because I haven't seen history, but that I've ever seen. And yet, he's a sort of...
It just feels like a little dig. Like, you, like, I know you could, but
yeah, like, see, I mean, yeah, you could see it as that. I don't know. I guess if you want to have an, yeah, it's just, I think that's what I mean. It's just about being honest about who he was. Maybe we're spoilt with having, you know, Message. Again, in my eyes, someone like Messi who can do literally everything. And there are obviously things. There's obviously things Haaland does that Messi can't. That goes without saying. But
even Mbappe, he's certain limitations
Dev, what's your honest opinion of what Haaland brings to the table?
I think he's good hold up play. I think he gives City another dimension that they lacked. I think if you watch the game against us, I think it was at the Etihad, the Premier League game, even the FA Cup game, I think you just had Ederson bypassing the midfield and just giving up to him taking it down, bringing in De Bruyne. I think that we're so fixated with the technical nuance and ability and style of Pep that we almost, anyone who we deem not to be of that level or who isn't perfect for that system, I think we have a bit of a bias towards him. Because I think if Haaland was at Chelsea, United, Arsenal, I don't think you guys would have the same opinion that you do. You have this certain expectation of where he is because of who he's playing for, i.e. Pep. Well, I think if he was at United or Chelsea or the teams aforementioned, I think you'll be less critical of him.
I see where you're coming from.
But no.
Yeah. So I think you're absolutely right. But I think that makes me think that I need to try and explain this better. Yeah, I'm not sort of saying that because there's this sort of feeling that he doesn't bring something to the table that City have always had. Therefore, I think that he should be doing that, and therefore, I think he's not as good as everybody says. I know exactly what you mean about the fact that I would probably say something different if he played for Man United or Arsenal or whatever. But if we were still having this conversation about is Haaland this, you know, as good as everybody says, I would still point out that he's a fantastic striker. Is he the world's greatest player? I'm not so sure. Like, you can have, you're right that about adding a new dimension, but that's, he has one. No. I was about to say he has one dimension, but that's a cliche that I will not say because he's not one dimensional. But you know what I mean? He has like one mode. And it's probably the best in the world at it.
Wow. Would you have said this if he played in the Premier League 10, 15 years ago?
Well, the problem is I don't know what the act like if we're revisiting this because all I'm doing here is I'm justifying the things that I've said. And the things that I've said are he's amazing, but there are flaws to his game.
Limitations.
And I don't think that, like, he can score as many goals as he likes. It will not change the fact that I happily admit that I didn't think he would score as many goals as he had done, and will go on to do.
Or did you think the level of what he does. Mm. He's surpassed the level of what you actually thought he did.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So I'm glad to say that I was wrong on a large chunk of my opinion of him, but I stand by the flaws that I see in his game. And granted, they're not as bad as I thought they would be. And I think he is showing signs of improving them. And as I say, his determination is really impressive, but I don't know whether they will get ironed out, and they don't need to get ironed out, but that's just my diagnosis of who he is.
So people are blinded to his imperfections by the high level of what he actually does and contributes.
Maybe not blinded to his imperfections, but don't take them into consideration when talking about greatness, which doesn't necessarily need to be taken into consideration. But if you are having that conversation, then, like, for example, this Ballon d'Or conversation, then I think it does apply. In my opinion, not for sure.
Messi needs to retire, then we'll see who Harry actually rates.
That's a good point. If Messi retires, who, in my opinion, is the best player on the planet?
Is it
Haaland?
No.
Sure, you'd say Mbappe based on what you've said.
Yeah.
Cole Palmer. Yeah, I mean, like, it's hard now because I really have gone off Mbappe in the last year personally. Like,
yeah, who is your currently your second, well, actually probably 10th, because Messi, I'd imagine, takes up 9 spots. But
I mean, I think I've talked about Haaland's flaws, but I think the things that he does well are so good that I think you can sort of go, well, that counteracts a lot of the stuff. So I do think that him and Mbappe probably are number 2 and 3. I would still probably put Mbappe above Haaland, but
would you put Mbappe second after Messi?
Yeah, I think so. I can't, unless you name me someone that I'm forgetting, but I don't think that there's anybody else. Kane, you know, he's up there. He's not in the top three, but he's up there.
I still think Vinicius Junior's slept on as a player. I think he probably needs to lead Brazil to a World Cup, and maybe under Ancelotti when he joins, he might. But what he's been doing for the past few seasons for an elite club like Real Madrid is phenomenal.
Because you think he's like Mbappe level, right?
I think going off his performances, stats
in big games as well, though. He plays so well in big games.
And what he's won, I think, why wouldn't you?
He's more of a like kind of winger than a talismanic forward. Like, Mbappe's not really a winger, nor is he a straight. He's sort of that guy who just does everything.
I think he's just giving free roam. It's like, okay, we'll be. But then it's weird because I feel that the notion that you have of Haaland, I have of Mbappe, that he's almost like he's a liability. That would you not say the same with Mbappe, that when he plays for PSG, it's ultimately 9 players and him?
I mean, in the sense of off the ball, but I think that he does so much on it. Like, he can get the ball, beat 3 people and do the stuff in the box, not necessarily to the same extent that Haaland does it. But I mean, you know, if you fizz the ball at him at speed and ask him to take a touch, beat a man and score, he'd do that better than Haaland.
He can get the ball there and finish it as well.
Yeah.
Which I think is the difference, where Haaland is fed the ball and finishes it.
Haaland is a pure finisher. I mean, he it's not to say that he's got a donkey touch or anything, but he is pure.
Not Lukaku.
Thoroughbred in the box. You give it to me, I will fucking win it or die. And, you know, that's incredible, but it's not. Like, surely you accept that Haaland, Mbappe's got a little bit more in his sort of all-round arsenal going forward than Haaland. Haaland might have aspects higher than Mbappe in certain ways, but if you're talking an all-round attacking arsenal.
I think you take away both their explosiveness. Who's the better player? Do you still say Mbappe?
Oh,
I think Mbappe is...
Haaland's still... a lot of what Haaland is about is sort of explosive.
Yeah, that's why I said take away the explosive both of them. Maybe this is my bias. Maybe Mbappe's my Haaland.
Mbappe, if we had this conversation about Mbappe, I would have my you know, concerns about him. I mean, most of them is to do with his attitude, but he's not, certainly not the polished gem that people see. You know, he's got flaws and stuff, but it will be. I mean, you know, Messi's now gone. He's out of Europe now, so he'll win the Ballon d'Or, but even if he keeps playing for a couple of years, he'll be out of the conversation now.
He's still going to watch football, has, when he retires. When he retires, I retire.
Yeah, I just live in a cave.
Yeah, become a fisherman or something.
I don't
want to think about it. Stop.
I'm going to go on another little messy rant there, but I'm not going to. It'll be fun. It'll be sort of fun in a way now, because I think the Ballon d'Or will open itself up to, if you had a really, really good year, you've got the ability to win it. Like in the years when like Shevchenko won and Michael Owen won and Pavel Nedved, if you just have a good year, you might have one year like Kvaratskhelia might win, which would just be fun.
Where are they thinking of that? Who's the better striker, Osimhen or Haaland? So you put Osimhen in that 50 team and swap Haaland in Napoli.
I think Osimhen is a level or two below, so I can't say that his blind spots are less obvious than Haaland's blind spots, as in he's sort of more of an all-round forward, but the things that Haaland does incredibly well, Osimhen doesn't get close to. He still gets fairly good. Obviously, he's an amazing player, but so yeah, Haaland is better than Osimhen.
Ash?
I'd say Haaland as well. Just pure numbers.
So do you think Osimhen, you don't think Osimhen could get the same numbers if
I don't think he's as freakishly sort of, what do we say before, ruthless or whatever, as Haaland is, no. But I think he's got more of a kind of all-round polished thing.
So yeah, Osimhen's a fantastic player, and if he came to the Premier League, he'd be scoring 20 plus goals more seasons, right? But
yeah,
Haaland's different gravy. 50 goals in terms of I don't think Osimhen would get a goal game. I don't think anyone would get a goal game.
What was the most important?
And just saying, I don't think Haaland's going to get a goal game this season either.
Yeah, but did we do this before? Did we make a prediction about how many goals we get? Did we do that in the predictions? I think we must have done. Yeah, we did.
Maybe.
Because I just remember saying he's going to score a hell of a lot, but fewer than he got last year.
Did we do our predictions before or after Harry Kane left? Because I think I remember saying he was going to be top goal scorer.
Just after, because you said you had Tottenham for the top four, but you took them out. Although, right. I want to revise that now.
Yeah, I do.
Tottenham for the title.
Tottenham for the title.
Interesting.
Genuine. At this point, I mean, there's a long way to go, and but Man United look crap, and they've got problems, big off-field problems and on-field. Chelsea is obviously going to take a long time for this all to mesh.
If ever.
Liverpool, I know they've started okay, but some serious doubts. Newcastle not hit the ground running. There's a big chance for Tottenham to get top four.
Also, don't forget, it's top five now as well, gets Champions League.
Yeah, they're non-coefficient.
So I think Tottenham guaranteed to be back in the Champions League next season.
Yeah, nice. Anything more on the... Oh, we pretty much all covered it, I think.
I'm still thinking about the Osimhen and Haaland.
Who's your answer for that? Because you can't give me all this grief about not rating Haaland and then not immediately say Haaland is better than Osimhen. I know Osimhen is a fucking good player, but
yeah, I think he's probably what you're talking about. I think he's probably the more well-roundedness. But yeah, Haaland's just a freak of nature, isn't he? Like, if you were to ask someone to build the ideal striker, it'd be him, wouldn't it? Just a physical specimen.
And sometimes I wonder, like, how much of this stuff is just the sort of conditions in which... I mean, obviously, Haaland's a freak of nature, he'll score whatever, but, like, so let's say Osimhen gets, you know, like, put... Maybe, you know, Haaland goes to Real Madrid or something, put him in Man City's team or just put in the perfect team for him, there's a chance he just could become like a 30, 40, 50 goal a season player. Like remember Falcao just sort of came out of nowhere and suddenly just got like 36 goals for Porto and then did the same for Atletico Madrid for 2 years. And then he got a bit injured.
And who did he go to?
Man United. And then Chelsea. But yeah, it's just a wonder, like whether if it's just sort of the conditions are right, like when you're sort of 23, 24, 25, you could just suddenly pop up and become an amazing, ridiculously high scoring player. Like Haaland's obviously shown that ever since he was 17 or whatever, but some players might just pop up and like, my point being, we're sort of saying, oh, Osimhen could not get to the levels of Haaland, but you never really know because obviously he has sort of in the last 2-3 years come from not much, like obscure, no one had heard of him, but, you know, before he started scoring goals for Lille. So you just never know.
Who do you think makes it into the third bracket? So it'll be obviously Haaland and Mbappe. Who do you think comes third or third best player after them?
Player generally. Okay, I mean Kane would definitely he'd be in that bracket, sure. I don't know whether he'd get four, but he'd be in the bracket. It's quite difficult then. Like I feel like 10 years ago there was a very clear sort of 10, 15 top players. Then all the sort of top players at the moment feel a bit old, like Salah, De Bruyne, Kane,
Lewandowski.
It's sort of, and the others who are sort of coming up, you're not really sure whether how good they are. They sort of can get a little bit better. Like, there's no one really that's like 26, 27. Who are the best 27-year-olds at the moment?
Rodri.
Yeah, exactly. That says it all, doesn't it? I mean, Rodri's a great player.
James Madison.
Outrageous.
Stonesy.
Who's Madrid?
Yeah, well, they've just
Fede Valverde.
Valverde, yeah.
But like, these are, you know, 10 years ago we'd have been saying like, you know, Modric and.
But then I think this is what it's going to be like in 10 years.
Yeah, feels like there's a load of 30-year-olds who are, or 32-year-olds who are quality, and there's a load of 22-year-olds who are quality, but everyone in the middle is kind of crap.
Yeah,
maybe that's not true, but.
Who's Barca? De Jong?
And Barca got a hell of a lot of youngsters. They got that Balde guy.
Yeah, that mean and now the youngest.
Brighton youngster Ansu Fati doesn't seem to be.
He's a youngster.
Rejected Spurs to go to Brighton.
That's.
I'll have you know we reject them.
Yeah, the loan. Was it the loan fee or the wages something?
The wages, they weren't covered in full. Yeah, we said no, because he's on stupid money.
Yeah.
As a side note, did you see that Hansi Flick's been sacked by Germany?
As a further side note, I just found this out about five minutes before I came on here.
Like a Family Guy episode.
He's the first Germany manager to ever get sacked. That is insane.
Wow.
I don't know how many managers they've had, but I mean they've been going since 1926.
Does he go back to Germany or does he come to the Prem?
Good question. I mean, he's relatively like untested at club level. I know he did that. It seems stupid to say a man who won the treble or whatever he did. Yeah. But like he took over an already pretty fucking good team.
But the type of football they were playing was...
And he did change the... Robert Kovac's team looked a bit crap. But yeah, he's done so poorly at Germany. I know Germany aren't a strong team, but... I assume he'll go back to the Bundesliga, but... The Prem is where all the money and the players are, so you know. I think it'd be a bit of a risk. I think we'll go back to Germany.
I think Brentford or Brighton, maybe.
I think Chelsea.
Yes, I mean, he was linked to Chelsea before. A lot of fans wanted him.
It was quality.
If Potts doesn't work out, I would not be shocked to see them go for him. But then again. As I've said to you guys before, I think there's a lot more sense in the Chelsea boardroom than people think. I reckon they would probably not go for Flick unless he really has them. And there we have it. Thanks very much for listening. Feel free to let us know who you think should win the Ballon d'Or. Messi, Haaland, somebody else entirely, maybe.
You can find us on Twitter and Instagram. Both handles are at Edge of the Box Pod. And if you want to follow my work at all, feel free to. My name's Harry Brent. I work for Daily Star Sport. I'll see you next week.